Good morning, everybody. I want to read to you today a portion out of the life of Henry W. Frost. I've mentioned him several times in the last few months. He was the North American Secretary for the China Inland Mission beginning about 1889, 1890, and running up into the 1930s. Frost and his wife Abby and their three children, two little boys and a girl, were living on the grounds of his father's property. Frost's father was a relatively successful businessman and had a beautiful home in Attica, New York. On the grounds was a cottage that was attractively furnished, very comfortable, and Frost and his wife and children so enjoyed it. But the necessities of the mission had become such that they were faced now with having to leave this cottage and move to Toronto, Canada, and do so by faith. It was a tremendous test of their commitment to what they were confident that the Lord had called them to and what everyone around them was confident that the Lord had called them to. I think that's a very important point, that this was not a self-chosen matter on their part. It wasn't them hurling themselves off the pinnacle of the temple. But everyone around them who was spiritually minded saw in them the gifts and the calling of God on their lives for this. So what it came down to, they realized, is a choice between dependence on Frost's earthly father and dependence on their heavenly father. And I'll read it now. "Hitherto, my wife and I, both before and after our marriage, had always had abundance of this world's goods. First in business life, and then through my father, all of our wants had been supplied. And now we were suddenly faced with the possibility of scarcity and suffering, and what to do we did not know. I couldn't take up my business again because it had already passed into other hands. And we had reason to think that the Lord had led me out of business in order that we might be free for his service. But we could only conclude, therefore, that he was testing and training us. Indeed, he seemed to be saying, 'Now, which father have you been trusting? If you've been trusting me, your heavenly father, and will still trust, I'll never fail you.' These words rang in our hearts and demanded an answer. It was clear to us what answer we desired to give. We wished to trust God to the full, and before long decided to stand still and see what he would do for us. The words of Matthew 6:33, 'Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you,' became very precious to us in those days. And to the utmost of our ability, we sought to fulfill the conditions in the hope that the promise would also be fulfilled. In spite of all of our prayers and desires, however, we failed to realize at times the peace which passes all understanding. We were in the midst of an entirely new experience. Peter walking on the water was a true picture of the condition in which we found ourselves, and to us, as to him, the waves seemed high. We hoped that God would supply our needs in some way or other, but we feared that he might not, which led to much heart sinking and distress. And now, alone in our cottage home, with no one except my parents aware of the situation, we set ourselves to wait upon God to see whether he would indeed fulfill his word and supply our needs. And a strange time we had of it, a very solemn time, too, before we got through with our experiences. We had been left with $10 in cash. We had a cow in the pasture, some flour in a barrel, and some potatoes in a bin. And what food we could obtain from these sources was all that we had to eat. So, with the utmost care, we made our $10 last a little over a month. But it finally came to an end, and we were left with a little food, but no money for the necessities of life. Our prayers under these circumstances were earnest indeed. Each one was like a cry, I fear, more than anything else. We pleaded with God again and again to have mercy upon us and meet our need. We pleaded with him above all to show us in our extremity whether his children, who through the claims of his service were unable to work for themselves, could indeed trust him to provide every needful thing. And did he fail to answer? Well, that was 4 years ago, and I rejoice to testify that he has cared for us then as a faithful father, and he's cared for us ever since. Deliverance came from a most unlikely quarter. An unexpected visitor came to the door one day and rang the bell. I opened it. The friend came in, seated himself, and said rather abruptly, "I want to leave you some money. You did me a kindness not long ago, and I'd like to make some acknowledgement of it." Well, this was surprising, for the speaker was known to me as a very close, very tight man with his money, and I was a good deal touched by his kind thought. It was the first time that money had been offered to me in this way, and pride would not allow me to accept it. And besides this, I didn't want the man to suppose that I had served him with any thought of reward. So while earnestly thanking him for his offer, I just as earnestly declined. "But I want to give you the money," he persisted, "and I will feel much better if you will allow me to do so." "No," I replied again, "I'm very sorry, but I cannot take it." Again, it was urged upon me, and for the third time, I was about to refuse when the Lord seemed to say, "Is this what you are going to do with my gifts? You've been asking me for funds. I send this money, and now you refuse it?" Silenced, I stood there, and the moments seemed like ages as I felt my pride and myself passing down into the grave of the Lord Jesus. And the third no never came out. When I spoke, it was to say with an emotion of which my friend had little knowledge, "Well, yes, I will take the money, and I am very thankful for it." And upon this, he stepped to the central table and clicked the silver pieces down upon the hardwood top in little piles and left them there. He was an unconverted man, and I had an opportunity of speaking to him very earnestly about his soul, and this I found I could do with freedom, for a great quiet had taken possession of my own spirit. The conversation ended, my kind friend left, and I turned from the door to the kitchen in search of my wife. It did not take long to bring her to the parlor to see the piles of money which I had left there untouched. And there we stood, she and I, quite alive now to the tender love of our Heavenly Father. And with faith in the promises of God, renewed and strengthened, we bowed our heads in prayer, and then and there gave ourselves afresh to our adorable Lord and his much loved service. I hope that will encourage you. The question always, of course, is whether we're seeking first the kingdom of God. And we all want to do that. And part of our way of really knowing that something is God's mind for us is that it is confirmed by spiritually minded people who know us well and know our giftedness. And then, if this truly is our seeking the Lord, and it's confirmed in various spiritual ways, then, of course, he will be just as faithful today as he's always been, and just as faithful to us as he's been to any of his children. And may the Lord strengthen our faith this week.